Thank you. All the pastors that have been sharing, I want to appreciate so much. I brought a devotional this morning. I brought a devotional. Just want to share with you from the Word of God what I would call a devotion in the fullness of time. That's the title of what I'm going to share with you, in the fullness of time. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." Then verse 10 says, "I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith." Verse 11, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man cannot find out the work that God has done from the beginning even to the end." He has made everything beautiful in its time. Other versions say God has made everything beautiful in his time. The King James Version says he has made everything beautiful in its time. I'm going to stick with the King James Version understanding of that, or interpretation of that scripture. We've got time, we've got seasons, and we've got purpose. In the Bible, you find some scriptures that talk of the fullness of time. Like, for example, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come," they were all together in one place in prayer, seeking the face of the Lord, when the Holy Spirit came and filled each one of them that was present. The Bible also goes to speak about the fullness of time in Galatians, that in the fullness of time, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. God has loved us in such a tremendous way that he gave us his only begotten Son. Everything has its time, and everything has its own purpose under the earth. When we look at the definition for time, sometimes we just think of the beginning of something or the end of something. What time does church start? Church starts at 10. What time do you finish? Hopefully at 12. Well, we tell them 12 o'clock, but you know what it means. Then it goes on forever. That's time. Sometimes when we understand time in terms of the beginning of something or the end of something, and the Greeks have got two words that two common words that are used normally for time. There are more words than these two, but the ones that are commonly used are chronos, which is a determined point in time, like the chronometer, which measures time, the start and the finishing of time. And then there is the kairos moment, that is an opportunity, a space that God gives, an opportunity or a space that God gives within time. Now, if I want to use this to say that for everything there is a time for it and a season. A season, in other words, is a longer period of time that God opens for us. But within a season, there is a moment in time, a space, an opening, an opportunity that God opens for each one of us, and he invites us to enter in. A kairos is that decisive moment. The moment when a person says, "I'm deciding to do this thing." This is almost like the time that you have been waiting for, the opportune or the favorable time. That's the kairos moment. I was also going to be using an example, an illustration of surfing, as if I could surf. But we went to Durban for holiday, and my wife and I, it was my wife's birthday, and then we're not allowed to swim in the ocean because they said the sharks were in the vicinity and they had removed the nets. So no one was allowed to swim, no one was allowed to get into the, but guess what? The surfers were surfing. and they could surf and have fun and enjoy themselves. But as was indicated by Brother John, they wait for that moment when they can jump in. The surf, it's like a season. The surf starts to build up. When it's building up, that's the longer season. That's the season of the surf, when it is building up. But then it is at that moment that the surfer decides to jump in. That's the time. So God opens a season for you, and you can jump in at the beginning of the season, in the middle of the season, or towards the end of the season, but at least you have jumped within the season. But the results will show whether you use the kairos, whether you use that time within the season appropriately. There are many kairos moments that you find in the Bible. For example, David and Goliath. That moment when David was the neglected child of the family. Imagine your father forgetting about you. And the prophet comes and asks, "Are these all your sons? Is David here? No, we forgot. David is still in the field. Can you go and call him?" The forgotten child, the neglected child. But God had a season that he opened for him. And in that season, David found an opportunity, a time appropriate to act. And today we speak of David and Goliath. We speak of David being the ruler in Israel, being the king, being a man after God's own heart. Today, because he used that opening, that kairos moment, that time God gave him. Esther is one of them. At a time when the Israelites were about to be exterminated brutally, but Esther rose in that moment, and through the decisions that she made, she could save a nation. Peter walking on water. Everybody else could have had a chance to walk on water, but most of us did. We walked on water yesterday. It was raining. So Peter cannot boast of being the only one that walked on water. But while the rest of the disciples were enjoying in the boat, Peter used that opportunity to walk on water. And even though he sank, but the point remains, Peter walked on water. He used that opportunity. He said, "Lord, if you are the one, call me, invite me to come." And Jesus invited him. And but a fascinating one is that at the beautiful gate, when Peter and John were going to the temple to worship, and by the beautiful gate was that man that was always begging, sitting there. He might have started begging during the time of Christ. Who knows? But on that particular day, Peter and John, when they looked at him, that was the time. That was the time. And they said, "Silver and gold." Man, this is what this guy was looking for. This guy was looking for silver and gold. So when Peter and John start off by saying silver and gold, this man, I think he goes like, "That's exactly what I need." And the disappointing news comes, "We don't have." "Silver and gold? Yeah, please give me." "We don't have." "But what we have, we give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And then he rose up and walked. They used the opportunity. God determines the season. God gives you and me a season, but we determine the time. We determine the timing. We determine the timing when we are going to act. We determine the timing when we are going to make a decision. He says, "I have opened a season for you. Can you take full use of the time?" And some of us jump in the beginning of the season. Others jump in the middle of the season. God gives us that season. And he says, "I've opened this door for you. I've opened this door for me. And can we come in?" As I was meditating, I'm thinking of Cain and Abel. their offerings that they gave before the Lord. Normally we say that Cain's offering was not accepted because it was from the ground, from the cursed ground. And that is also true. That is partly true. When you read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, there's another angle there that seems to be indicated. It says, in the process of time, Cain gave. In the process of time. In other words, what I understand from that is when you farm, the first harvest can be the good harvest, big, and you keep it to yourself. He kept it to himself. The middle harvest, and then in the process of time. Now, when the harvest was good, but not that good, when the harvest was okay, I think I can just take this now and give it to God. And God, I believe, with the reading of particularly 4 verse 3, which says, he gave in the process of time. And it's like the first fruits belonged to God, but he said, I'm not going to give you this. I will think about it. I will see what I can give from whatever remains in the process of time. Now, we went to the Bible Museum on Tuesday. I think so. Was it Tuesday? I was chewing gum, and we were told there's the sixth floor, fifth floor, etc. You can start from the fifth floor going down and so forth. And I wanted to go to the sixth floor, but I was chewing gum, and that gum was getting tired and wanted me to check it off. So I told myself, you know what? Since the lift is still coming, I've got time to go and throw away this gum. And I turned and went towards the bin. But when I looked back, I don't know what happened, but the doors were beginning to close. And so what did I do? I tried rushing. Now in Africa, if you touch the doors of the lifts, they respect you because you're an African. So they stop and they open. But here, I don't know what happened at the museum. I tried to block, the doors kept on closing. They said, nah, not you. So I was very embarrassed because I knew I was going to meet some of these guys on top, and they'll go like, that's the guy. But that illustrates that everything is good in its time. You know how wonderful it is, you know, when you are carrying some heavy stuff and someone is waiting there and just presses the lift for you. You don't have to drop your bags. You just go straight and you arrive just on time, and the lift opens for you just on time. And when you're exiting, someone is exiting on the same floor and presses the button for you. It's wonderful. It's glorious when everything is done in its time. Everything is beautiful in its time. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, we hear about the children of Issachar. The Bible tells us that the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times. And they knew what Israel ought to do. That's in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Paul tells us to wake up from slumber. And he's telling us that it is not time for this. There's a time for that. There's a time for everything else. But this is a time for us to know what God wants us to do in our own nation, in our own families. What is it that God you are saying to me at this camp while we are all here? When we go home, we have a message that God is bringing to us. What is it that we are taking home? We need to have an understanding of the times to know what the church ought to do, to know what our families also ought to do. If you are like me, I struggle in determining the time when it is moving from this season to the next season. That in between time is the one that confuses us, with me especially. Like now in South Africa, we were moving from winter to what? Summer, winter, spring to spring. Yeah, we're moving from winter to spring. And by the way, we call it autumn, not fall. Fall is Genesis chapter 3. Isn't that Bill? And September month was a bit tricky. Normally, it should be warm. It should be beginning to be warm. But then sometimes one day it's cold, and the following day it's extremely hot. Sometimes we say that the students in heaven, weather geography students, in their weather assignments, they're just tampering with the remote to see. Let's see, press cold. Oh, it's cold. They're complaining. Lift the temperature up a little bit. The temperatures fluctuate. In you go to town wearing a like me, and then you realize no, it's too warm. This is the in between time when we know what we are coming from, and we are not so sure where we are going. When we know that we are just coming from summer, and it's supposed to be spring, or it's supposed to be winter, but we still have some weather patterns that belong to the previous season. In our first session of prayer before the men's summit started, our brother Bill Yont was talking up, gave a message from the Lord about tracks, that it's like we are on some tracks, and the tracks are ending, and we do not seem to from there, but we must proceed, and we've got to proceed by faith. We're no longer relying on what we see, but we're now relying on the leadership of the Holy Spirit as He is guiding us. This is the way, walk ye in it. You get so much used to the trail, to the tracks of the previous season. Now the track has come to an end, and you don't know which direction to take. That's usually a very critical time, that one, when the time has not yet fully come, and you are to transition from one season to the next season. Almost like the time when Jesus was crucified, he died, Peter had rejected Christ and had actually spoken some vulgar language about Christ. I don't know this man that you are talking about, this, this, and that. And then Christ dies, and Peter has not yet had an opportunity, has not yet had a time to go to say to Christ, I am sorry, I let you down. Now that whole weekend was tough for Peter. He was looking forward for an opportunity where he can come to Jesus and say, please forgive me. I love you. You know, it is that in-between time, like when Jesus rose from the grave, and Mary knew that she had not embalmed the body of Christ. She knew that there was some unfinished business that she still had to do with Christ, to embalm his body and prepare his body for burial in a proper and dignified way. And she approaches the grave, and when she approaches the grave, she sees that the grave is open, but there's this guy that looks like a gardener. And Mary rushes to her and says, Rabboni, Rabbi. And Jesus says, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I've not yet been to the Father. You know, that in-between moment when you know that this is your Savior, this is your Rabbi, this is your teacher, and Mary wants to welcome Christ and show her appreciation, and Christ is saying, I've not yet been to the Father. Theologians use that incident to say, as Christ is the high priest, that's the time between that moment and the time when he came back to say, to Thomas, put your fingers through the wounds, that is the moment when Christ took the blood to go to the Father and present that blood to the Father. But that's what theology, that's what they talk about. But it is that in-between moment when you want to do something, but it's not yet time. And you might take it personal. You might feel like Christ is neglecting you. You might feel like the heavens are closed for you, where you feel like, God, I'm praying, but it doesn't seem like my prayers are going anywhere. And God is saying that, trust me, because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. You want a fast train that is going to take you, a bullet train that is going to take you from point A to point Z, and God is saying, it's not going to be a bullet train. It's not going to be your Airbus, but it is going to be step by step. And I'm going to guide you step, one step at a time. And you've got to trust me. You've got to put your trust in me. One step at a time. And he says, the steps of a righteous man. And that's where you need your Bible close by. That's where you need to read your Bible more often than not. Because the Bible says that your word is like a lamp unto my feet. It's not that police torch that you switch on and you can see a mile away. No, this one lights for you, for here, for right now. And you've got to trust God every step of the way. I thank God that there's never a moment in our life when we can say, thank you, God, for all the assistance, but I needed you thus far. From now on, I can make it on my own. I thank God that our relationship with him is not like that. We are used to a disposable generation. We take disposable cups, disposable nappies, disposable everything. You just use once and you throw away. But that's not the relationship that we have with God, that he is our Father who has loved us so much, and we can relate with him at any time. At any time, he has loved us with an everlasting love. The in-between time can be confusing, but it's important. It's important because it makes us closer to God. It brings us closer to our own. And that's when we know who are with us and who are against us. I've just come out of a season in church of silent opposition. You know, it's good if someone can stand up and say and tell you. But you know, that silent resistance when people speak to you in signs and wonders. And very, very. But I've just come out of that season, and thank God. I hope it's over. I hope it was not part A, and part B is coming. But you know, what that season taught me was to be close to my family. And this does not mean that I was neglecting my children or my wife. No, I come from a separated family background. I made a decision way back in 1988, and I told myself I will try by all means to put my family second after God. And I think I've tried to live like that. But at times we get comfortable. And I think that's where I was at. I realized that when the world is chasing you with its bulldogs and its bull terriers and all kind of dogs, when it is chasing, coming after you, the place that you rush to is your family. Because there they accept you unconditionally. They know your mistakes. They know your idiosyncrasies, your stupidity, because we all have our moments of madness, but they're still there to welcome you. You know, family is very, very important. We can have everything this world can offer, but family is of crucial importance. It's a time for us. It's a time for us to honor our families. I want to conclude with Esau and Jacob. Remember the time, not as if you were there, but from your readings. Remember the time when Esau and Jacob tricked his father so that he could get a blessing. And most of the times we speak about Jacob. We speak about Jacob, but there's this guy called Esau who managed to control his anger. He was very angry. The Bible tells me that he looked for an opportunity that once my father is dead, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to kill this guy. I know families that are still divided because of inheritance, because of this and that. Esau could have exemplified any one of them. But through God's grace, well, on that day, Esau went to his father, Isaac, and he said, "Dad, don't you have even one blessing for me? Just one." And David said, "I have given everything to your, Jacob. Isaac says, "I have given everything to your brother. Except, this is what you are faced with. Everything else I've already given to your brother. But a time will come when you will break free from the yoke. A time will come when you're going to break free from the yoke of your brother." I'm just summarizing here. A time will come when you're going to break free. And when you read your Bible, you'll realize that the Edomites, the Esauites, were under the rulership of Israel for many, many years. They tried to break free, but they couldn't. Until after some years later, and when they eventually broke free and were free from the rulership of Israel that was under King Ahaz, they broke free completely during that time. So for years and years and years, they were still under this rulership, the yoke of their brother. But what I like is that eventually they broke free. Amen. That's in Genesis chapter 27, verse 39. The Bible says, "And Isaac his father answered and said to him, 'Behold, of the fatness of the earth shall be thy dwelling, and of the dew of heaven and above.'" Now verse 40, listen to this. "And by the sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you break loose, that you shall shake off his yoke from off your neck." So in other words, it's saying there is going to be a fullness of time, an opportunity that God is going to give you to break loose, to set yourself free. You know, there are some things maybe that have been characterizing your family, some weaknesses, some whatever it is that have been characteristic of a family from generation to generation. We have now grown to accept and to find explanation to that, found maybe psychological explanation. It's this is happening in our family because of this or whatever it is. But I want to say that I think there needs to come a time when someone in the family can say, "That's enough now. That's enough. We have suffered this enough in our family, but that's enough. As from me and my generation, we are going to serve the Lord." We cannot change our past. We cannot change the things the negative things that described our family in the past. But as from today onwards, as for me, I'm going to break loose. And I think this is the time that God is giving us, you know, to consider our families and pray for our families and say, "God, I thank you for my children. I thank you for my wife. The things that I brought them into, the things that maybe our family has brought into my extended family has brought into my own family. Father, I want to put an end to this. From my generation onwards, I want to live a godly inheritance. I want to live a godly inheritance because the Bible says a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. We might have made our mistakes in the past, but we are putting an end to that in the name of Jesus. Because this is an opening, a season that God is opening for us, and he's saying, we can break free. We can break loose and say, God, touch my family. I cry for my country. I cry for my family. I cry for my children. I cry for pray to take time just to pray and break free from whatever has been characterizing our families. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Just find a brother to pray with as we pray one for another.